And it's referring to the holiday of Sukkot, and that's in Psalms 27:5. Therefore, since it alludes to all three of the fall holidays, Psalm 27 is regarded as a very important psalm in God's calendar, in God's, you know, God's holidays. See how it all ties in. And then, right now, you have what they call Selichot, and that means forgiveness. And it's prayers of forgiveness that you'll pray to the Lord. Psalms 130, verse 4, you read, "But with you there is forgiveness, and that you may be," it says feared, but respect is what he's saying. So for time's sake, there's 13 attributes of mercy. That God, right now, that the Jewish people will read. And you could go probably on Amazon and just look up a Jewish study guide and just look up the 13 attributes of his mercy, or a synagogue in Kansas City area here. Just go to their bookstore, and I'm sure they have it. But, you know, there's 13 attributes of Adonai, and then it talks about Adonai again. El, Rachum, Chanun, Erech Apaim, Rav Chesed, Rav Emet, and so on. And it goes on to talks about what, you know, what God will is and what God does. So right now, we're looking at chet, which in Hebrew, that means is the words for in English would be sin. And what is sin? It means that we have failure in our relationship with our Lord. Again, you get in a fight with your spouse, it's the same thing. Breakdown in communication. It's the same kind of thing. And then Micah 7, verse 18. "Who is a God like you, pardoning iniquity and passing over transgression for the remnant of his inheritance? He does not retain his anger, or retain his anger forever, because he delights in steadfast love." Why? Because that's what he is. It's awesome. So, the four steps of teshuva is, number one, forsake sin. Well, that sounds easy, but guilty as charged. Proverbs 28:13 talks about that. Sincere repentance is demonstrated when the same temptation to sin, that you don't do it. If you do, again, Psalms 51, "Creating me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me," right? Regret the breach. Regret why you say, "Lord, I repent for what I did." Confess the truth again and make amends, right? With those we've harmed. You know, John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's what? He's faithful and just to do what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's look at James 5:16. James 5:16. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective and fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. And the reason that this scripture, I think, is not as prevalent in the church as it needs to be is because, you know, that word prayer chain, translation, gossip chain, we talked about unity earlier. It's got to stop. You know, know your audience, right? I mean, not going to sales 101, but it, you know, sometimes it's certain things that, you know, you got to know your audience too, you know. Like with ICFM, there's a reason why other pastors or leaders can go to other leaders and talk things through. Why? Because it's just for their ears only. Instead of the congregants. Not that they're better, but there's a maturity, you know, level. Not that we've arrived, no. But what happens in that verse, unfortunately, in the church, confess your trespass to one another. The reason why that doesn't happen like it used to is because you got too many busybodies. And it talks about that. What did Jesus say? Judge not, lest what? All guilty is charged. I'll raise my hand. Getting better, because it's called walking out your holiness. Yes. You're given the same measure of faith when you get saved. Mm-hmm. The same measure of faith Pastor Jeff has is the same measure of faith that Oral Roberts had, or Brother Hagen had, or Brother Copeland has. But the difference is they've developed. It's like a muscle. You start developing it. Mm-hmm. You got the same righteousness. You are in right standing with God. That's what righteousness means when you get saved. You said, Jesus, yep, you're the Lord of my life. Yeshua, yep, you're Yeshua HaMashiach. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is Lord. And you believe that. You get the same measure of faith. You get righteousness. It's bam. The difference is walking out and developing your holiness. And that's what Pastor Kathy talked about, Ephesians 5:1. Be imitators. Why? Because the more you imitate your parents when you were kids, the more you became what? Like them. The more we imitate God and Jesus, our older brother, the more we become like him. And that was what he said in the Lord's Prayer. Jesus said, on earth as it is in heaven. What? There is no lack in heaven. That's why it's unacceptable when I started the service. That's unacceptable for there to be any sickness or disease in anybody's body in the body. If I see that, I will stop and pray with people if I know that they're saved. And if they're not, I say, Lord, if they're willing to allow me to pray for them, I've done it in public places. And most people are receptive. And why? Just let them see the goodness of God. Maybe brings them to salvation. You know, I talked about that last time I was here. You know, when you witness somebody, don't tell them they're going to hell. They already know that. Tell them God loves them. Start there. So, confess the truth and make amends. And the last one is accept your forgiveness. How many times have we not accepted God's forgiveness? How dare we? The blood's not good enough? I don't mean to be critical, but I'll stand and say that as I'm looking in the mirror. You know, move forward with the Lord, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, through faith. You know, be comforted by the presence of the Lord in your life. You know, Isaiah 40:1 says, comfort ye my people. Let's turn to First Philippians real quick. 3. I got first saved. One sister in the Lord came up to me and she goes, you know how I remember Philippians? And I said, no. She told me, General Electric Power Company. That works for me, man. I was like, sweet. That was awesome when she told me that. So I've never forgot that. So when I was first learning, General Electric Power Company. It works for me. Maybe it works for you too. So Philippians 3, chapter 3, verses 13 and 14 says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of our God in Christ Jesus. Amen? And finally, it just needs to be an authentic repentance, and it's a lifestyle, not a one-time deal. Okay? Again, praise God for people that come Christmas and Easter only, and they come on Yom Kippur, but it should be a lifestyle. Being zealous, fanatical about it. So, you know, why? Well, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man's in Christ, he's what? A new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Correct? Proverbs 3:12 says, I paraphrased it earlier, but it says, for whom the Lord loves, he corrects. Just as a father to son in whom he delights. He loves us. You know, that's child abuse not to correct your children. That's child abuse. We're seeing a lot of child abuse going on in this world lately. You know, you look at these kids and it's like, man, it's like, did you, you know, did were you born in, or I'm not to be condescending, but it's like the insolence anymore. That's the word that comes to my mind. The disrespect. It's like, who raised you? Nobody. That's the problem. The devil has come in and cheapened that even, perverted that even. Parents, not no-show parents. God's not a no-show parent. Thank God for, praise God. And you know what? I didn't like it when my parents corrected me. I don't like it when my father and mother in the Lord, whom you all know, and I respect with all my heart, and my wife does, correct me. But you know what? Let's turn there. Ephesians 6:1. Let's turn there. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. What's he talking about there? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. So if you go to this church, your parents in the Lord are Pastor Jeff and Pastor Kathy. Those are your parents in the Lord. You said yes to the declarations of their tenets of faith, which are not bad pizza, because they're under a covering like I'm under the same covering, right? But you said, regardless of your age, you're saying, yep, they're my parents in the Lord, like my parents in the Lord, Pastor Larry and Dr. Loretta. The next verse, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. What's that talking about? Your earthly parents. Now, if your mom and dad happen to be like Pastor Robbie, I won't say double whammy, but guess what, buddy? I don't make it rules. So if you're a pastor's daughter or son, guess what? It is what it is. You know, so this is the reminder for myself. So the one thing that, and I'll touch on this because of time's sake, and I want to touch on Rosh Hashanah. And Rosh Hashanah is a very special time. So we're in the time of repentance, teshuva, 40 days. We touched on the significance of that, right? And now we're leads up to the first Tishri, which is the new God's new first month of the new of His new year. And there's just for time's sake, and I'll teach on this a little later. But there's two types of New Year's within God's calendar. There is the calendar New Year, and then Pesach, which is the spiritual New Year. So that would be kind of like when you get born again. You look at me. So what that means is, and I'll touch on that, and that's why I'm being obedient, and that's good. What that means is that God's calendar, the creation of Adam, was on the first of Tishri when God created man, Adam. On Rosh Hashanah. Rosh means head of the new year, you know, Rosh Hashanah. You know, Rosh Kodesh means head of the month. When you see that on the, God's calendar, that word, Rosh means head. So Adam was created on the first of Tishri, and then Pesach is the spiritual new year because Jesus did what? Was our Korban Pesach, which was our one and only. Korban Pesach means was the ultimate Passover lamb without spot, blemish, defect, or wrinkle. In Hebrew, that's Tam. I mean, that's the Hebrew word Tam. Does that make sense? So there's two New Year's within God's calendar. And I'll teach on that Pesach at a later time, but I saw you, the wheels turning when you kind of, I said that. You're like, so I felt, okay, there's a reason I brought that up. Glory to God. So, Rosh Hashanah, it is the head of the year, and it's celebrated. It's to the Jews and to the church, New Year's Day, and you would want to say Shana Tova, right? And in between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and I'll talk on Yom Kippur next, and I'll talk about this a little more, but it's the time between, they call it the 10 days of awe in English, and in Hebrew it's Aseret Yamei Teshuvah, which is the 10 days of awe. So there is the time when Rosh Hashanah comes, and now while they're seeking God's, Jews are seeking God's repentance right now, fervently, is to better themselves, to change themselves. And yes, we're not under the law to the degree that it's, but it's a time of remembrance. It's a good time to just, you know, reflect. I do. I take it seriously because God does. And what does he say? I'm the Lord thy God, I change not, right? Malachi 3:6. So, but then what happens on Rosh Hashanah, it's called the Book of Life's Open. God opens the books. See? That's why a lot of Jews are accountants. That's just a joke. That's for free. But God opens the books. Jesus is the greatest Jew that ever lived. So the books are opened. Books don't lie, right? And then you have 10 days, and the Jews take this very, very, very seriously. And you know what? It's not just a one-time thing, as I just read. I mean, with the teshuva, repentance, you know, we should do this daily. We should do this, like I said, when we take communion. I think next time we come, can we, Pastor, would it be okay to do communion? Okay, we'll do that next time we come with Yom Kippur. Because the new year, we're already, God's new year will already be here, and I'd like to do that with you. That'd be awesome. And it's like when I take communion, and I'm getting a little ahead of myself here when I was going to finish up with, but that's okay. What I do is, you know what, it says, what does it say? What did Jesus say in Luke, you know, 22? You know, he said in Luke 22, verse, you know, 19. And in 1 Corinthians 11:24, Paul said the same thing. It says, let a man examine himself. Did Jesus not say that? That was the Seder meal, First Communion. And then Paul talked about it again to the church. In 1 Corinthians 11:24, he said, let a man examine himself. So what does that mean? Well, first thing is, what I personally do is when I take communion is I say to the Lord, I say, Lord, from this moment all the way to the time of my birth, I forgive and release anyone and anyone that's ever done anything to me. I forgive them, Lord. I have to. Because you know the famous verse, Mark 11:23. I'm going to turn there real quick. And people will sometimes want to gloss over to the next verse. But let's read in context. It says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says this mountain be removed and be cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things which he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you have them and you'll receive them. Verse 25. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Not just people in the body, it says anyone. Forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. Because, verse 26, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. This is in red. This is Yeshua saying this. Got to take it in this full context. So what do? I say, Lord, from this time, all the way to the time of my birth, I release everyone and anyone that's ever done anything to me. I really do that. And the next thing it says, and let a man examine himself. That's part of me examining myself. It's part of teshuva. Right? But it's a season. Like you commemorate, you know, Pesach. We commemorate, you know, Sukkot, Shavuot. Why is it important? Giving of the Holy Spirit, Shavuot. Right? We celebrate, you know, Christmas, birth of Yeshua. So, you know, Hanukkah, you know, there's, you know, why we celebrate these things. But at any rate, I say that's part of the teshuva is, Lord, I examine myself. And the next thing I do is I judge myself. Judge not lest you be judged, but it's okay to judge yourself. So I say I judge myself healed. I judge myself prosperous, financially, mentally, and emotionally. I say this out loud to myself under my breath. I say I judge myself the very righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, regardless of what I've done or what I've, and of course I do repent of all my unforgiveness or all my sin. You know, I love Psalms, you know, I love Psalms 19, you know. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You know, forgive me my secret sins and my blatant sins. You know, I love that. You know, I do that. And that's teshuva. So God's new year is in a couple weeks. When I come back, the missionaries will be here. Praise God. Let's have communion. And, you know, and that's what I personally do. I mean, whatever works for you, but for me it works. And then people were like, and then it talks about, and I could. There's another teaching under its own about God taking the Lord's body incorrectly and his blood incorrectly, symbolically. But he says, but do this in remembrance of what? Me. Well, that's why we should have teshuva, time of repentance. Right? Yeah. Elul. See how this is all tying in? So, you know, then you hear someone's mouth. And, well, how's your knee? Well, it's killing me. You just took communion. No, not, and I don't say this disrespectfully, but I don't care. How dare you disrespect the body and blood of what Jesus did on the cross? Like he's going to, no offense, I've heard Pastor Larry say this before, like he's going to crawl back up on the cross, not to be sacrilegious. He is not going to do it. He's already done it. Take it by faith. Just like we pray for your eye. You're healed. As far as God's concerned, you're healed. And I know you believe that because you said, I take it. Nothing wrong with saying that. Take it. You believe it for a financial miracle. I take it. You know, praise report. Marla and I were believing for a financial miracle in our life. Not that, you know, we didn't, we're destitute, but you know what we said? You know what? We are blessed with the lifestyle we're able to live, and we have a daughter that had a need. And I said, you know what, Lord? My job is, God is my source. My job's my seed. I believe that with all my heart. And this week, I was with my boss, and we're going to my old company because we are now their partners with my company, with what we sell. And before the meeting across the street from their corporate in Chicago, I sat, and my boss looked at me and goes, you want to talk to me? I said, yep. And he says, you want to talk to me about a raise, don't you? I said, yep. And Marlon and I had just prayed about that the night before. And he said, okay, what do you want? I told him what I wanted. And he says, you know, Phil, that's not unrealistic. You've done a phenomenal job, and it's because of God. I give him all the praise and glory because what my work, I get up every day. I say, hands, I look at my hands. I say, whatever. Psalms 1:3 says, whatever I put my hands to prospers. I believe that. I believe that. And that's why you see Jews pray after they eat because they believe that Psalms 1:3, whatever they put their hands to, they're eating food, they're putting their hands to it, it's going to prosper. So then they pray and thank God for the food. It's just a little different. Jesus did the same thing at the Seder meal. So I said to him, I said, you know, okay, I told him what I wanted. And he goes, can you give me at least about a week and I'll get back to you? And I said, sure. So we went to our meeting, everything's great. And afterwards, he goes, let's go grab something, then we'll recap and go over a few things. And, you know, and then I got to get to the airport, and then I had to go to some other meetings with the dealers that are associated with my last company in the Chicagoland area and help them roll out the program and explain the program and stuff like that. And I said, well, let's go to the Jewish deli. He goes, no, we're not going to the Jewish deli. I was kind of bummed because I was looking for some matzo ball soup and a corned beef sandwich. But he said, we're going to get a Chicago Italian beef sandwich. And I'm like, okay, because he's from Chicago too. So we go, we sit down, and we start eating. And he goes, you know what? I don't have to wait a week. He goes, you've done a phenomenal job. You know what? You've done a great job for us. And I looked at him, and I said, Baruch Hashem. Well, our second in command is Jewish. He's Orthodox. And he kind of knew what that meant. What I love about my company, Jews started the company, and there's mezuzahs on every corporate office door. And I like it because even all the non-Jews are like, I like that because they explain, me and my CFO explain that, what that actually means. And you kind of symbolically just kind of out of respect kiss it. And there's Psalms 91, a prayer, you know, protection and blessing in it. And so they're on every door and it's awesome. And they're like, hey, man, we'll take all the help we can get. That's awesome. So he said, I don't have to think about it. And he goes, I'll tell you what, Phil, and you had some concessions that you were willing to give. No, I'm not going to make you wait another year for a raise. He says, here's what. I'll give you what you want, if that's okay with you. And, oh, by the way, because of that, your salary, your commission's now going to increase by X percent. So when I added the two up, it was exactly what Marla and I prayed for, was 20%. I'm not bragging. On top of the raise I already gotten this year, which is about almost 10%. And he says, in January, I'm going to give you another raise. And I said, oh, keep talking. I receive that. I just said, I receive that. I receive that. You know, and it's not, you know, and I had someone say, well, you know, my family member, well, you got what you deserve. No, I correct them. I said, we got what we deserve. We'd be all, there'd be little char marks all over. We actually got what we deserved. What is that? It's God's, it's his grace. It's his unmerited favor. His love. Regardless of what we've done. In operation. And not only that raise now equates to, yes, it will help my daughter out because of college, and I want to pay for her college, but it goes above that. There's more of an overflow. And you know, it's not bragging. It's God is good. And I know, Pastor Jeff, you've had it in your life. I heard you talk about it. You know, Pastor Larry, had you come up with, you know, and you've told me in private about some financial things. But then with your, you know, your teeth and everything like that. It's the same God, right? Peter said it the best, you know, Acts 11:34, I perceive God's not a respecter of persons. If he did it for Jesus, he wants to do it for us. Jesus was a person. I mean, we lose perspective of that sometimes. I do. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, yeah, praise God, you know. And you know what? There, I see an attack in the body with healing, with sickness. Unacceptable, even in my own our own church. No, it's not acceptable. Unacceptable. Unacceptable to the point, I love what Marla and Dr. Rudd, and they prayed about it, and the prayers did. And it was, you know what, like Marla said, and Dr. Rudd said, exactly, they both said it at the same time. Why can't we just have a healed church once and for all? I agree. Why can't we? Because, and Pastor Larry talked about healing Thursday night, but it's because of the centurion. Be it unto you as thou hast believed. You have to believe that you're healed. As far as God's concerned, when you do teshuva and you repent, guess what? What does he say? Psalms 103. As far as the east is from the west, what? He erased the board every day. Right? His mercies are what? New what? Every day. Why? Teshuva. But it's always good to commemorate that, you know, in the time of repentance. And I promised, we're going to wrap this up pretty quick. So Rosh Hashanah, Adam was created. God created Adam on Rosh Hashanah. And it's the head of the new year. It's when they open up the books. And I'll talk about Rosh Hashanah a little bit next time. And sounding of the shofar, it's blown 100 times. And again, every day during Teshuvah in Israel, regardless if you're in Tel Aviv or you're in Yerushalayim or if you're, you know, in Haifa, wherever you're at, or Beersheba, wherever you're at in Israel, they're going to blow. You're going to hear a shofar once a day. And it's, you know, to give the king, okay, we acknowledge you as king, king of the universe, but it's also to, you know, the blast is to, you know, signify repentance. And the other one, the third one is the, is an alarm. And the long blast is for as long as you can blow. That's what they do on Rosh Hashanah, and that's to signify, hey, new year, time for celebration, right? So, you know, I'll touch on this a little bit more next time, but I want to wrap up. But, I mean, how much time do we have? But, you know, there's so much to this. You know, I just touched on it. But, you know, I understand, but I'm not going to go that long. And it's not that I'm being selfish, you know, for my own sake. But I'm going to be respectful of time too. But to a man, you know, you would say Lashana Tova, you know, Tikhatev Vetechat Bechatem, which, you know, is, you know, may you be inscribed and sealed for a good year. You know, that's how we would say to a man. And to a female or to a woman, you say Lashana Tova, Tikhatevi Vetechatemi. And then to a group, which you are, I would say Lashana Tova, Tikhatet Veyu, Vechatemu, which is, may you be inscribed and sealed for a good year. And I say that, you know, to you. And we just right now say, you know, Shana Tova, Happy New Year. Or in an hour and a high holidays, we'd say Chag Sameach, Happy Holidays. So, any rate, I'm going to stop there. I will touch on Yom Kippur, or excuse me, Rosh Hashanah, because we're just going to be coming back, and we'll already have God's New Year, but we'll also have the Day of Atonement. I'm looking forward to it a couple Fridays from now. I think Marla's going to meet me in St. Louis, and we're going to go to synagogue that day. I always do. And you know what? It is a good New Year. Good things are happening. The unity, I love it. God's New Year. We're in Tishri, and they're going to have all these denominations come together. I'm going to find out, I'd like to find out, Pastor Jeff, if they're going to have any rabbis there. Awesome. And I'll definitely share that because I wrote that down. Thank you. That was very important. So with that, I'll blow the shofar the best I can. This is my trumpet playing days when my mom made me take trombone lessons, or not trumpet, but my trombone lesson days. I did pretty good at our church. I do pretty good. But this is my son's shofar. I couldn't find my other one. See what happens when you're like, I can't find, I won't confess it. I can find stuff, but I need to quit leaning on my wife and start leaning on myself on certain arenas. And of course, you can tell her that. Or she can listen to the recording. And yes, I did say that. I'll admit it. So I'll say that. And then I always do the Brakit Kohanim because that's what we just do, right? Yes. And I didn't really touch on what I wanted to, but that unity thing, man, I apologize. I know I'm not going to apologize. That was just powerful how God just works. And I'm on the way up here, it's reassurance when, you know, Sister April was talking to me about that. And she's studying it. And she said, you know, like that word you had last Sunday, Phil. And then here we are. God knows what he's doing. And then one last thing before we go. Yes, Lord, I'm going to be obedient. And part of Teshuvah, I'm going to read one thing, and we're going to pray for the hurricanes too. I know we already did, but Lord specifically told me. So here's what you would hear, and this is for the church, right? So explain what the blast means. I could have gone longer, but praise God, trombone playing day. So that's what you would hear every day now till the first of Tishri, you'll hear that. And it's a wake-up. And we talked about what, you know, the four attributes of that. And so I'm going to be obedient to what the Lord's told me to do first off. Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Chronicles 7:14. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. And I'm going to wait until everybody's there. It's important. I'm going to wait. Yep, 2 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 14. And while we do that, this is part of Teshuvah. The Lord gave me this. And, of course, God's not a respecter of persons, but God's second appearance to Shlomo, or Solomon. And he dedicated the temple, right? But then God came back to him, and he said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. And we talked about teshuva, what? It's not just for ourselves, yes, repentance, but it's praying for our nation, praying for the nations, the world, right? That's part of what we need to be asking God for repentance. But he specifically said, if my people, who's my people? The Jews, the church, right? If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and that's what we're doing in teshuva, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. And we're going to pray for that. Because, you know what, is this a judgment, these hurricanes? Could be. Because of the last administration, and I'm not judgmental, I'm just going to state some facts, they weren't very good to Israel. And how you treat Israel, and we're a sheep nation, contrary to popular belief, we're not the man, the United States. Don't get me wrong. I am blessed, beyond blessed, to live in this country.
Yes. Amen.
Would I live in Israel? The answer is yes. It's just in my DNA, of course. Would you want to live there? Yes, because that's ultimately where we're going. But the second choice would be the United States of America. And, you know, we see all this stuff, and it's like, oh, it's coincidence. No. No. But can we stop it? Yes. Why? If my people, who are called by my name, we just read, right, will humble themselves, okay, and repent, which we're going to do corporately now, and pray. And the Lord specifically told me it's not to negate what you did. But he said, if we will do this, he said, Phil, I'm telling you. And then you told me, sister, about the other hurricane. No. It's going to dissipate. You know, it's going to dissipate. And you know what? I did that last week at the time of prayer. And you know what? I'm going to read this too. And this is out of my prayer book. And there is a prayer in here I want to find. And it's for the nations, our nation as well. So, Father, we thank you right now. We come to you, Father, and we repent first off for everything and anything we've ever done, Father God. We ask that you cleanse us from all unrighteousness, Lord. Lord, any malicious talk, anything. And Lord, in the time of teshuva, I thank you that my brothers and sisters and myself included and my family, Father, we seek your face and ask you to reveal things that we need to repent of and change in our lives, Father God. Lord, you know us better than we know ourselves. You created us, and I thank you, Lord, you reveal that to us in our prayer time and our time we spend with you. And because we've done that, Father God, you said in your word, you said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, in which we are, Father God, and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways. And we're deciding right now, Father God, publicly, all of us here tonight, that we're turning from our wicked ways. You said, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. So, Father, we speak and we call you out by name, because every name and every name has to bow. And we call you out, Hurricane Irma. You have a name. So therefore, you have to bow to the name of Jesus. We call you out, and we pray for our brothers and sisters and our non-brothers and sisters. Father, we pray for the people of Florida, Father God. We pray that that hurricane subsides now in Jesus' name. And that other one that's forming dissipates, Father God. And Father, I thank you that, Lord, I understand that you're a just God. But Lord, we thank you, Lord God, that you said that you're a merciful God too. And we thank you, Father God, that as we do this, Father God, we stand in the gap. That's what teshuva is also, standing in the gap for others, Father God, forgiving others, Father God. Even when someone does us wrong, Father, we forgive them. Bless them, Jesus. That's what we say. We say, bless them, Yeshua. Bless them. Regardless. That's why Paul said that. I thank you, Lord God, that that hurricane subsides now. I have a co-worker, Lord, that no plague nor calamity comes to Rodney Howard Brown's church. Pastor Brother Paul Wilbur and his ministry, Father God. Other churches down there, Father God. Dr. Wingate, Father God, that lives in Florida. Part of ICFM, Father God. And Life Christian University. I thank you, Lord. I have friends that I know that live down there as well. And there's probably people here that have friends and family members they know down in Florida. We pray, Psalms 91, no plague, no calamity shall come near their dwellings in Jesus' name. We thank you for it, Father God. We decree and declare it. And any disaster, Father God, the unity that we saw with the hurricane that happened in Houston, Father God, we see the same unity. And that we don't have any backbiting or malicious. We bind any malicious and bad talk, corrupt communication against any leaders of the church. We from the, within the church, we bind that. We thank you for that, Father God. We decree it and we declare it, and we thank you that it's a done deal, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And then, Father, we pray for our country. We say, God of our fathers, who gives salvation to nations and strength to governments, bless and safeguard our country, the United States of America, and the people who dwell therein. May brotherly love ever be found among all the citizens of our land, implant in the hearts of all the people a steadfast purpose to work as one, echad, for the safeguarding of freedom, justice, and peace. Supreme King of Kings, protect and help our president, shield him against all sickness and injury, grant to him and all the constituent officers of our government such wisdom and understanding that they may lead our nation in justice and righteousness. In their days and our days, may Judah be saved and Israel dwell in safety. And Father, we thank you for the mayor of this town, Father God, Grandview, Missouri, our brother in the Lord. Lord, we pray the same prayer over him, and we include him in that prayer, Father God. That, Lord, his family's blessed. We call him blessed. We pray Psalms 91, no plague, no calamity comes near his family or his dwelling, Father God. That you lead him to make godly decisions, continue to lead him, Father God. That he does not look to the left or to the right, but he is steadfast and he sets his face like flint and makes decisions based upon the word of God, Father God. We decree and declare this in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'll bless you and then I will release you if that's okay. Is that okay? Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kedeshanu b'mitzvot ha'vitzavanu lehitativ batzitzit. Blessed are you, O Lord God, King of the universe, who sanctified us in your commandments, your mitzvahs, and commanded us to wrap ourselves in tzitzit. Yeveriki karo Adonai ve'yushmurecha yara Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha yesa Adonai pana velecha veshem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his face towards you and the Lord give you peace. Shalom, shalom. Be blessed. Amen.